Masechta starts off with the following sugya. Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen points out, this is applicable also when it comes to Pesachim, the first sugya that we learned last year. What is the language of or? What do people mean when they say or? Is the concept of speech, of sipur, is the motif, is the whole essence and the yesod of Pesachim. So as we glance at Maseches Yuma, so we also want to be Ma'ayin in the first Mishnah at the outset of the Masechta and try to understand what the day and the nature of the day of Yom Kippur is all about. The Mishnah says that they used to separate the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur 7 days. Shivas Yom Kodim Yom Kippur, Ma'afrish Kohen Gadol Mibesel Elishkas Parhedrin, U'maskinen Lo Kohen Acher Tachtav, and they would have a substitute Kohen Gadol to be there in case Shema Ye'arav Obsul, in case he becomes Tamei and he is not able to be utilized on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not sufficient to set up a backup Kohen Gadol, but you even need to set up Af Isha Acheres Matkinamo. Why? Shema Tomus Ishta. Because not only are we concerned that there will be something that happens to the Kohen Gadol, but we also are concerned that will be something that happens to the wife of the Kohen Gadol. And the wife of the Kohen Gadol is crucial. The Kohen Gadol is not a single entity. When the Kohen Gadol goes in on Yom Kippur, he goes in with his partner. And it's a beautiful concept and something to focus on when a person approaches Avodas Hashem, and when he approaches Avodas Hashem as a married individual, a married person, and now becomes shalem with his other half, then he needs to understand the Torah's stress of the chiper ba'ado ba'beiso. You can't achieve atonement and kapara in a self-centered, selfish manner. You need to recognize that you are a half of a whole, and everything that you've accomplished is due to the assistance and the guidance and the facilitating of your other half. And therefore the kapara process, the avoda process, also is a function of both you and your wife, and you enter in there not as one person but as both of you. And that's crucial that she's going to be around. And Rabbi Yehuda even sets up that a backup wife needs to be there, because it is so much of the focus on Yom Kippur. I was recently at a Sheva Brachos that my wife was involved with, and was someone from camp. And my wife has this game that we play at Sheva Brachos, that you put some toys in the bag, and everyone randomly takes things out of the bag and gives divrei bracha to the chassan and kala. And, there were different items. You know, one person pulled out a ring. My wife put into the bag all different things that you can somehow connect to Shalom Bayis, to Chasan and Kala, to life of marriage. And there was a ring. There was a little figurine of a bride and all these things. And then it came to my turn, and I pulled out a chicken. And I, like, looked at my wife, and I'm like, you know, what? A chicken? You know, like, what? So she said, like, oh yeah, after she finished filling up the bag, Batsheva, my daughter, like, ran around the room in the den, and she stuffed in a few more things. So I was like, how am I going to make a bracha out of this? So I tziyata d'shmaya that I was thinking about the Shabbat Shuvah drasha. I was thinking about Yom Kippur. And I started thinking about the chiper bado bad beso, that the kapara process doesn't exist on his own, and the whole kapara is now changed once he gets married and is needed to get married to come in unison and to only achieve atonement with your greater half. And that's obviously something that is beautiful when it comes to every chassan and kala, but is highlighted when it comes to the most important avoda on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash, where you would think that marriage doesn't really play a role in such an environment, but that's not the case. Chachamim respond back to Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, and Beso is Beso Zuhishto, which is also a fascinating concept. When a person thinks about his house, it's not a structure, it's not about how many floors, how many bathrooms. even though we sometimes get carried away and distracted to think that that's the ikker about a bias, and we're all focused on him, you know, on the actual edifice and structure. But Chazal say, Beso is Ishto. You could have the nicest house in the world. If you don't have Shalom Bayis, if you don't have that relationship, you are homeless. You are literally homeless. And that's really in the opening statement of Rabbi Yehuda as we enter into Yom Kippur. No matter what happens, Parnassa-wise, everything, I got to make sure, you know, Beso Zu Ishto. To really dedicate this, schus my wife, whose birthday is today, Zayin Tishrei. And I really want to be makir tov to her for everything that she enables me and allows me to both learn and to teach you, and to try my best to try and inspire. But it really is a schus and a karsa tov to her for everything she does and sacrifices for that. Chachamim say back to Rabbi Yehuda, I disagree. You do not have to set up a backup wife. Why? Amru lo. Imkain ein ledover sof. What does that mean? Imkain ein ledover sof. If so, there is no end in sight, which is the title of the shir. There is never going to be an ending point. What does that mean? So the Gemara clarifies on that Yud Gimel Min Aleph. The Gemara says as follows, sheds light to this discussion in this Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af isha acheres matkinen lo. Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to have a backup wife. It's not sufficient to have one wife. You have to have a runner-up. You have to have a backup wife. Now, just to be clear, everybody say what the Gemara goes on to explain, the fascinating sugi we don't have time to get into, but it actually affects some halacha l'maisa that we should maybe talk about at another time. But the Gemara is actually a shmak shagas aria on that. But the Gemara discusses that you can't be married to these two wives at the same time. The Gemara says, bayis achas amar achmana v'lo shtei batim. You can't have two wives. So what would they do? How would you set up, like Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting, matkinan lo isha acheres? So the Gemara says they would set up, and that's the Gemara has a long shakla v'tarya, what the t'nai was, that if one of them dies, so then the other one's marriage takes effect. That's basically, or a divorce, you know, that's what the Gemara ultimately sets up, and that's a whole long conversation on the Gemara and Daf Yud Gimel. We'll leave that for another time. But technically there has to be a runner-up and a woman designated for that potential second marriage, according to Yehuda. V'rabbanan nami hachai shel Hashemo. So the Gemara says, the presentation in the Mishnah seems to imply like Rabbi Yehuda is this nervous guy, and he's like concerned of all the different possibilities. And Rabbi Yehuda is like this cool as a cucumber, and Rabbanan is like this cool as a cucumber guy. And he's just like, nah, I'm not concerned. I don't have any concerns. Everything will be fine. Just relax and you're totally fine. It's not really true, says the Gemara, because the Rabbanan are concerned about what's going to happen. Where are the Rabbanan concerned about what's going to happen? In the case of Shema Ya'ar Bopsul. They agree that there has to be a guy running, a runner-up, a guy in the batter's box for what? For the backup Kohen Gadol. So why is it that you're not concerned when it comes to the wife? So the Gemara answers, you're right. Chachamim were concerned about something that was more common. Chachamim weren't concerned for Misa that's less common. So then the Gemara says, Amrlo in Kain Ela Davar Sof. They said to Rabbi Yehuda, you that are concerned, so then why are you only concerned with one? Maybe the second wife will die. Maybe the third wife will die. Maybe the fourth wife will die. Maybe you should set up six backup wives, ask the Rabbanan to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Shapir Kamar Lele Rabbi Yehuda. That's a nice taina. If you're a choshish for Misa, why stop at one? Why stop at two? Ein ledover sof. So how does Rabbi Yehuda get out of that? Zakh the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Lecha, Lemisa Dechad Lecheshina, Lemisa Detar Tele Lecheshina. I'm only concerned about one death. The statistics that two are going to die are really highly improbable, and therefore I'm not concerned above. Rabbanon, so Rabbanon say back to Rabbi Yehuda, no. If you're in the world of being concerned, so you got to be concerned even for the death of two wives. There's no difference between one and two, and therefore either you're in the world of concerned or not in the world of concerns. So the Gemara says, Rabbanon nemru inhu lenafshayu. Understand. So now the Gemara asks, okay, Rabbanon, cool as a cucumber, Rabbanon. So you're not in the world of concerns. And you're telling Rabbi Yehuda, obviously you don't need to be concerned, because if you need to be concerned, so then you should have to be concerned with everything. So comes along Rabbanan and says, so you're not concerned, right? So why is it that you're concerned about Tumah? Why is it that you're concerned about the Kohen Gadol himself becoming puzzle, and you're going to have a backup Kohen Gadol? Zok the Gemara, the truth is, I'm really not even concerned about the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol Zarisu. Kohen Gadol is not going to become puzzle. You know why? Because the Kohen Gadol is on his game. He's a Zaris. So Gemara says often, Kohanim's reasoning. Kohanim, they knew what they were doing. They were expertise in Zmanim and Halacha. You didn't have to have the same concern that you do have that with Rov Bal Yisrael. Kohen Zarisu. So Gemara says, really? Kohen Zarisu? You really, he's on his game. There's nothing to be concerned about. He's Zarisu, Frek the Gemara, Lama Matkin and Kohen Ach. So why are you establishing a backup Kohen if he's so Zaris? Says the Gemara, listen to this, psychology majors. Kevan de Avdinan Leitzara, Kol Shekin de Mizdaris Tfei. We're really not concerned. We're really going to rely on the Kohen Gadol, and he's going to be okay, and he's going to complete the job, and he'll be fine. He's going to be pure. So why do we set up a backup Kohen Gadol? You know what ensures us that he's going to be okay? The fact that he turns to his shoulder and he says, wait, there's a guy in the batter's box. There's a runner-up. They have a replacement if I mess up. So that's going to keep him on his game even more. Okay? Rabbi Yisai, when there's a shooting guard that just got drafted to your team, and he came very close to starting, and you start slipping up, and the coach is going to be like, let's go. Right? Let's switch him up. Right? Shots off. That'll get you on your game much more. Because there are backups. Because there are guys. Because there are guys available. This sixth man is really one of the starting five. Okay? It's just, you were on the team before, and so we let you can't stand the starting five, but you could be replaced very easily. So the Kohen Gadol is going to make sure that he's going to be on his game. Rabbi said, let's go back to that question that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan discuss in the Mishnah. Do we have to have a backup wife? Are we concerned about a backup wife? Machlaik is Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda. But I want to ask a more fundamental question. Before we get to whether or not you have to establish a backup wife, does a wife, this idea of the Sheva Brachos Torah, this concept that everyone agrees to, that he's going in not only for himself, but v'chiper vado vad beso, he does not have a selfish existence. He does not have a personal reality. It's always with his wife. That is something that's universal. That's a pasuk in Chumash v'chiper vado vad beso. This Sheva Brachos Torah is universal. Bein l'rabbanan bein l'rabbi Yehuda. But what I want to know is, what happens if we got a bocher? What happens if a Kohen Gadol was not married? What happened if Yosef Rubinov did not get engaged yesterday? And now we're approaching into Yom Kippur. What would be the halacha then? Is it ma'akev? Is it puzzle? Is it invalid? Or is it something that's a mitzvah min amuvcher, and it's nice Sheva Brachos Torah, but lemaisa, it's not considered a puzzle Kohen Gadol for the avodah in Yom Kippur? You see, Rabbi said, when I look at this Kohen Gadol, he's a beautiful looking guy. He doesn't have any mumim on him. He's no blemishes. He looks great. He's been training for his whole life. He's a Talmud Chacham, top notch. Knows all the halachas about the paras and the seers and everything. On his game, he's quick. He knows how to juggle. He knows how to balance all these things that he has to balance underneath his armpits and everything that he's doing. And he's going to be makta victorious. He's got nice hands that he can hold the chafina inside. This guy is quite a resume, Rabbi said. He's going to go on, you know, why he connects 1, 2, 3. This is it. But he just didn't have time to get married before Yom Kippur. But he's top notch. There's no, hands down, Chaim Kanievsky says, this is the man. He is excellent. Let's have him to be the Kohen Gadol. Is that just a psul l'chadchila? Or is that a psul b'diyah? So this is something that's raised by the Rishonim in the commentary on the first daf in Yuma, and the Tosfos Yeshanim on daf Beis Amud Aleph. Tosfos Yeshanim is not sure. He doesn't know. First, says the Tosfos Yeshanim, says, one second. All the Mishnah said is that I set up a backup Kohen Gadol for who? For the Kohen Gadol. But do I set up a backup wife for the backup Kohen Gadol? No, that no one says anything about. Says the Tosfos Yeshanim, that seems to imply that having a wife is not ma'akid. And therefore, I don't need to set up a backup wife for the backup Kohen Gadol, even in the world of Rabbi Yehuda. So it sounds like it's not ma'akit. When Kohen comes, b'hacha, aye, but why do you do it for the first person according to Rabbi Yehuda? Berishan mitzvah min ha-mukhar be'inan, and the first one we try to do mitzvah min ha-mukhar. Then the Tosfos Yeshanim says, va'afilu ma'akva, and even if you want to argue that it is ma'akev, l'kule ha'ay, l'ichashinan, shetamas eishas ha'sheni, heichda l'ichashinan, b'gmar l'misas ha'sheni. He says, come on, so far-fetched, such a possibility that the wife of the backup Kohen Gadol is going to die, that we need a backup wife? Kule ha'ay, l'ichashinan, but ein ha'chanami, it is ma'akev. So what do you see from the Tosfos Yeshanim, Rabbi Yisai? You see a suffix in the Tosfos Yeshanim. Having a wife on Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol, does that passel? Does that not passel? The Tosfos Yeshanim is not sure. He has two possibilities. Had to explain our Mishnah. Had to explain away why the backup Kohen Gadol doesn't have a backup wife, even in the world of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, everybody say, you all know the famous story of Shlomo Zalman said, you know, our leg hurts. Right, so that's the Shiloh over here. When you have a wife, is that like not having a wife on Yom Kippur, is that like missing a leg? Because she's one of my Evarim, we're considered a Guf Echad. That's the Shafik over here when it comes to the Avodah on Yom Kippur. The Shagas Aryeh in a Sefer on Yumo, which is which Sefer, Rabbi Yisai? What? The Gvura Sari. The Gvura Sari in his commentary and on Maseches Yuma, right? We know he has the Turei Evin on Rosh Hashanah Chagiga and Megillah, right? And then Gvura Sari he has on Yuma Chagiga and what else? No, I don't remember.
Tinus,
excellent Tinus, yes, that's right. And then he has the Shagas Aryeh, everybody say, I'm Psochim, you know what I'm saying? No, not really I'm Psochim, but a lot of Psochim. Gvuras Aryeh, I'm even young. So, Zalk the Gvuras Aryeh, Zalk the Shagas Aryeh, Maseches Yuma, he raises the same exact Shiloh. Apparently he didn't see the Tosfos Yeshanim. Apparently he didn't have the Tosfos Yeshanim. He didn't have all the Sfarim that we had. And he raises this question, he wants to know, does having a wife, is that going to invalidate? Is that something that's crucial and necessary that can even invalidate the Eved? So comes along the Shagas Aryeh and he says, well, wait a second. We do have a Gemara that talks about a different issue, which is referenced in the Mishnah, which is talking about the separation of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had to separate from his wife for 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. And Reish Lakish says on Daf Yom Amabez, Zokta Shagas Aryeh, that is not Ma'akiv. How does he know that that's not Ma'akiv? Dr. Shagas Aryeh, Reish Lakish Diyek B'Gemara L'Kamon, Daf Gimel Mabez, Gabi Koyin Acher, Min Dikoni Matkinen, Meloi Toni Mafrishen, Shema Mino De'ein HaFrosha Ma'akiv. From the fact that the way we set up the second Kohen Gadol, the backup Kohen Gadol, we only designate him. We never separate him and put him into a separate Lishka like we do by the Kohen Gadol himself. So why is that? So says the Gemara, because since it's not Ma'akiv, Lo Yichashinu L'Shema. We only needed to institute things that invalidated b'di'evet. So if hafrasha is not ma'akev, so then we don't need to do it. Got it? Rabbi said that's Reish Lakish. From the fact that we're only matkin on Kohen Gadol Acher, we're only set up and designate a backup Kohen Gadol, and we're not mafrish, we don't separate a backup Kohen Gadol, says Reish Lakish, you see that hafrasha in general, and if you forget to do the hafrasha, you're A-OK and the Kohen Gadol can still work. By definition, Afrasha is just lechatila, and Afrasha is not ma'akiv. Im Kain says the Shagas Aryeh so beautifully. Implication being, whatever you did do in the Mishnah, whatever you did establish, is for things that are ma'akiv. So if according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need to what? Designate a backup wife. Sounds like having a wife is something that is ma'akiv. And therefore, we have to establish. Hachanami, Yisaka, Daita, Debesa, Lo Ma'akiv, Ediyebet. If you would have thought that it doesn't invalidate, why do you set up a second wife? You can prove from here, therefore it's crucial and you should say the Shagas Aryeh over at Shavuot Brachos Torah. Shagas Aryeh says that the beso is ma'akev, that you need to set up in case you die. No, don't say that part. Okay. So that's what the Shagas Aryeh initially says. But then the Shagas Aryeh backs out and he says, I'm not really convinced about my right. Just because Reish Lakish proves that they only established things that were ma'akev and Prisha was not ma'akev, so therefore they didn't set up for it, says the Shagas Aryeh, Yesh Lemer, da'afilu tomer de'ein beisa ma'akev b'di'evet, mikomakom kevnu l'charchila mitzvah ikka chashu l'shem ha'tamas v'adul, she says, perhaps we could even argue that they were chashish, even if it's only l'charchila. So then the obvious question that the Shagas Aryeh has to explain is what? If they were doing and instituting things even for the world of l'charchila, so why didn't they do that for what? For what Reish Lakish said is not ma'akev, the Prisha. Meaning, why weren't they obligated to be Pirish and separate the backup Kohen Gadol if we're also setting up and instituting in the Mishnah things that are only L'chachila? You can't have your cake and eat it too. If you think you're instituting things for just the world of L'chachila as well, so then you got to be consistent. And you got to take care of both L'chachilas. So isn't that a proof, a nice Mahalik, like he said originally, that it's a raya that marriage is ma'akev for the Kohen Gadol? So the Shagas Aryeh says, not necessary. Mikomakom, he says, on the fifth line, V'hadu lo'i choshu l'shemi yaru b'psul v'yafrushu kohen sh'matkin in tahtav d'anami mitzvah ika. Why don't we do the same when it comes to Afrasha? Yishlemer k'dam rinu b'gamara ha'hadu choshu rabbonu l'shemi yaru b'psul v'lo choshu l'shemi tamas ishto mishum de Kohen Gadol zarezhu. He says there's a difference. If you look at the Gemara that we learned on Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara clarifies in the world of review, Rabbanon, they're not really even concerned about the Kohen Gadol becoming possible. Chachamim were never really even concerned about the Kohen Gadol becoming possible because Kohen Gadol Zar is who. So if that's the case, Rabbi Isai, are you going to ever need a backup Kohen Gadol according to the Chashash of Rabbanon? No. So why do you set one up? So psychologically, he knows that there's someone in the batter's back that could replace him and that he better stay on his game. So M. Cain said to Shagas Aryeh, fundamentally, even in the world of L'chachila, it's only something that really even exists, L'chachila. But when it comes to a backup going on, it doesn't even exist. So now I'm going to say, you even have to be what? You even have to be ma'afreshim? But it's not even going to come into existence. Chacham weren't concerned that the Kohen Gadol is going to become possible. You understand? So Serafor says, the Shagas Aryeh, they're different even in the world of L'chachila. Because by one I was concerned, and by one I really wasn't concerned. So comes along the Shagas Aryeh and he says, if that's the case, so then what's the diak of Reish Lakish? If you don't even think you're ever going to need to rely on the backup Kohen Gadol, so how could Reish Lakish bring a proof from the way we interact with the backup Kohen Gadol that we don't need to separate him? That implies that the whole separation process, even for the Kohen Gadol himself, the Iker Kohen Gadol, is obviously not ma'ak. But you just told me that the reason why we're setting up for one and not for the other is because the backup Kohen Gadol is never going to be necessary. Says the Shagas Aryeh, Rabbi Isai, no. Reish Lakish's diak is gevaldik. Listen to the Shagas Aryeh. Let's read this again. End of the word is yesh. It's in boldface. Yesh lemer k'dam rinu b'gemara hadu chashu rabbanu l'shem yarbo b'su v'lo chashu l'shem atamas yishto mishum d'kohen gadol zarezu. You're never going to need a backup point gadol. He's a zarez. V'hadu ma'afrish n'acher tachta mishum d'kev na'adinu leitzara kol shkendim is darez tve. He's got to know that there's someone on the sick, the coming off the bench, the sixth guy. What do you call him again? I forgot. The sixth man, he's going to replace one of the starting fives. So that's going to affect him psychologically. It came into Medina in Lachish Lepsul, the Kohen Gadol Zarezu, but since ultimately we're never really concerned that the Kohen Gadol is going to become Basel, Be Mafrish and Kohen Achet Tachtav, and we only are Mafrish. Why? Elekedelois, Zirazal Zrisozo, to make sure that he knows that we're relying on someone. Lachud, Mishamachil, Lechosh, Lafrish, Hakohen Achet Tachtav. So therefore we don't have to separate the other Kohen. Comes along Reish Lakish and he says, and by the way, you see from that Afrasha, even by the Kohen Gadol Mamish, is not Ma'akim. When we come from Dirik Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish's Dirik was a Gabaldika Dirik. Why? Shaper, I would just ask, but you're never going to use him, so what's he being a diet? No, says the Shagzai. Shapir de ena frosha ma'akev, di shapir de ena frosha ma'akev, di ma'akev, because if Afrosha would be ma'akev, Rabbi Isai, then what? What kind of psychological game are you going to be playing with the Kohen Gadol's mind? He looks back and he sees the guy, the sixth man on the bench. That guy can't play. That guy can't shoot for the life of him. That guy doesn't know how to drive left. That guy's got no game. I saw the way he played in the last game. I'm not nervous that coach is going to replace me. How fresh is my game? What kind of psychological game are you playing with Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol knows how to learn. Oh, so Shagasaria. Oh, no, sorry. Slept with the dike. Nice. If you want to play psychology, you better play psychology. You better play in the real way that this guy is actually, he's got game. And he's going to be able to play, and he at the switch of a whistle, he can get in. Must be Afrosh is not active. Otherwise, there's no psychology. Moiradik Shekazari, everybody said, he is a psychologist. Good. Then the Shekazari says, I want to throw in another svara of why I think, even in the world of Lechachila, and that having a wife is only lechachila and doesn't passel and doesn't invalidate, still it makes sense to distinguish between hafrosha, that you don't have to separate the backup Kohen Gadol, and having the wife that you do have to designate a backup one. Why? Again, the Sheikh Sari's question, if you hold it's only lechachila, so then why would you distinguish between one lechachila and the other lechachila, that I have to set up for one lechachila of a backup wife, and not for the other lechachila of hafrosha and separating the backup going low. Oydish Leimer says the Shagasari a different shot in the bold face. The Hainu time of the Choshler Rabbi Yudel Sufik Beiso. Afilu tamed the Leimer Akiv Mashloi Choshler Sufik Prisha. All the Eino Akiv Mishum the Bishlo Magabe Prisha Afagab Loi Hu Prish Koydim Yom Akiporim. Nikol Kamei Da Ava Ava Ubi Yom Akiporim Mishas Avoy De Ein Kan Chisar Nemitzu. So the Shagasari, one second. Even in the world of the Chachilas, they're different. Once we need to go into play on Yom Kippur with the backup Kohen Gadol, so that way we're saying what? There's missing a Lechachila. Missing a Lechachila when? Now? Or missing a lechatchila from the preparation stage a week ago. That's in the past. Says the Shagas Arya, there's a difference between a lechatchila that my dahava hava of what was, and a lechatchila that's relevant right now on Yom Kippur. So the Shagas Arya, perhaps we set it up, even in the world of lechatchilas, we establish takonas that are relevant now, like being married, the shas avoda, and we don't set up lechatchilas of what was, because once we're going to face it and embrace it, it's going to be already a past, has been not relevant, the shas avoda right now. So that's just a fascinating, different svaras of the Shagas Arye, Kedarko Bakoidish, to really go back and forth, Rabbi Say, in this suffix of this fundamental question, that's relevant both in the world of Rabbanan and in the world of Rabbi Yehuda, because everyone holds you got to be married. The only question is whether or not you have to be choshesh for the misa and set up a backup wife. So is being married ma'akev, or is being married just mitzvah min amuvchar? And can I distinguish even in the world of mitzvah min amuvchar between separation of the backup Kohen Gadol and having a backup wife for the Kohen Gadol? Shagasari goes on and goes back and forth and brings more rayas. Tends to think that it is ma'akev at the end of the day, but then he brings up a fascinating question. Allah Chalamaisi, he says, what happens if you have the following situation? On Yom Kippur, you have, says the Shagasariya, Heich she'ira shemesa ishto shal kohen gadol, the wife dies, v'yom ha'kiborim, v'yesh acheres l'kohen, and there's no other one to marry, mi yishamish, he kohen gadol odif, shepir shiva. Is this Kohen Gadol that's now single, when his wife died, better because he had hafrasha, because he was separated for 7 days? Or do you say the backup Kohen Gadol is better? Why? Because at least he has a wife. But he never had separation. So that's what the Shagas Arye discusses as a fascinating shaila. And that's the discussion over there. But Lamaise, right, at the end of the day, Rabbi said we're inconclusive. Both from the Shagas Arya and the Tos Yishanim, they're not sure if it's Ma'akiv. But came along, there was Sameach and Dasa Rambam, and he thought that it was clear from the Rambam in one way or the other. And let's see the Rambam in source number 5. Avodas kol chamesh es rebeim as elu akribim b'yom zeh eno elav koin gadol b'vat. The main character, Rabbi say, on Yom Kippur, perhaps, according to some Rishonim, for all Avodos, even the ancillary non-Yom Kippur de Avodos, that's a little bit of a debate in the beginning of the second parak of Yuma, Balamor and the Mohammes, but everyone agrees he's the critical figure and doing most of the Avodos. Comes along the Rambam and he says, in the last line, he does all the avodas. V'chein shara avodas shal yom zek gan aktaras aktaras shal yom v'atavas aneres hakol asu b'koin gadol. He does everything, and he does hakol asu b'koin gadol nasud. It has to be done not only by the koin gadol, but it has to be done by the koin gadol that is married. Why shne mar v'chiper ba'ado ba'beso besu zuisht? Because he needs to go in with a bias with his wife in unison. Comes along the Ar Sameach and raises the following shayla. What happens if Nebuch Rachmana Litzlan before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol's wife lost her mind and she becomes what's known in halacha, a halachic status called a shayta? So the Gemara tells us that when it comes to a shayta, the Gemara isn't getting about this, that a shayta unfortunately is not able to be mekabel a get. She cannot get divorced because she is what's called an halacha mishalcha v'chayzeres. She's going to be sent away, but then she's going to come back due to her state of mind, and she's not able to be shamer as Gita. So comes along the Ar Sameach, and he discusses the following situation. What happens? You have a woman who is in a status where she can't get divorced, so she stays married, like her original status. So that's going to create a new psul when it comes to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Why? He's going in with a wife. What's the issue? Says the Ar Sameach, well, when he goes in with his wife better be someone who can achieve atonement and can receive kapara. However, when it comes to a shota, who's a lav bar onshin, who's not responsible for any of her chatoim, says the Ar Sameach, you can't bring karbonos on their behalf because there is no kapara. There is no v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beso. The dafka mida hava bar kapara, a shota in a bar kapara. The Hishrut Frish Chatoso v'nishtata, the Gemara in Zvachim says, if you separated a chatos and then you became a shaita, ain't a kreva, the carbon is not brought. Rak kishachazer v'nishtapeah v'shafka v'tari ma carbon dochi, then the Gemara gets into this shayla of whether or not the carbon could be kosher afterwards, but fundamentally the Gemara assumes that the carbon is pasul when it's v'shas shaita. V'mkein ain't a roi lavet b'yom ha-kippurim, so this kayin gadol cannot do the avoid on Yom Kippur. Ask the Ar Sameach, why not? Why can't he marry another woman? Why can't he have a second wife? So the Gemara says, Al isha achas velo shtayim, you can't have two wives. So how's it going to work over here? How's he going to have a wife that's bar kapara to achieve the pasuk of ba'ad beisel? So says the Ar Sameach, sounds like this is a new psul in a kohen gadol that Nebuch, his wife, lost her mind and she can't accept again. He says, and even though you'll tell me that the Tosis Yishanim that we learned is Mesopok if it's Ma'akev or not, right? And the Shagas Arya is also Mesopok, Rabbi Yisrael, right? Says the Ar Sameach, I think the Rambam is not Mesopok. And the Rambam is very conclusive that having a wife is a psul. Our leg hurts. It's like you're missing a leg and you're a Balmud. Pasul b'dievet. Amna miloshen Rabbeinu, second to last line, Reishel Chizyom HaKippurim, Hakol Asui bekoyin gadol nasui. You gotta have a wife, and if you don't have a wife, you have a psul. You're invalid. This is not a dating speech, Rabbi. So I'm not encouraging anyone to start dating. But that's not what I'm trying to do here. The chiper bade beso is a psul, right? After the beso nechlolim bnei, right? But so he says it is ma'akiv. Shemar chiper bade beso zu ishta. Moira de ma'akiv says the Ar Sameach. I think it's ma'akiv, and therefore you got to have a wife. Judy, you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering why if the Kohen Gadol's wife became crazy at a certain point, why would she not have to get kapara for what she did before she was crazy? Like, wouldn't she still not be bar kapara for?
That's a good question. Yeah, but I don't think she could have Akrav as a korban for her. She's no chiyuvim anymore. Yeah. Okay. So that's the conclusion of your Sameach and Das HaRambam. It seems like that this din is ma'akev, although the Tos Yishanim disagreed, or he wasn't sure, and potentially disagreed. Rabbi Isai, I want to talk about this debate that Rabban Rabbi Yehuda debated on the premise that you should be married, and now we're even going to the extent that it's probably even ma'akev according to the Rambam. Do I have to set myself up to be successful and to make sure that there's a backup wife and that the Kohen Gadol, no matter what, will be married going into Yom Kippur? So we found out that the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Echshash, Chashinim Lemisa, and according to Rabbanon, Lechashinim Lemisa, right? That seems to be the summary of the Gemara. And if you want to be Chashash, Ein Ladavar Sof. So I'd like to analyze that for a second, Rabbi. Is it true that, how do we possibly when it comes to that child? How is it that when it comes to this question of Chashinim Lemisa, how do we possibly? So in order to analyze this, Rabbi said, we need to see a fascinating Gemara in source number 7. The Gemara in source number 7 talks about the following issue. Back in the times of the Gemara, whenever a person would go out of town and need to interact with people out of town, so you wouldn't have cell phones, you wouldn't have text messages, you wouldn't have flights. You would have to send shluchim that happened to be going to those areas. And it wasn't common necessarily to find people to go to those areas. This was a big schlep and a big tirchah. So even when it came to a gerushin, even when it came to a divorce, a person would have to send the gerushin al yidei shlichas, where there are gemaras about this in Maseches Gittin. Actually, the opening sugyas in Gittin talk about this. Hamevi get v'inichu zaken achayla. If a person brings a get, and the get was sent by a husband who was in a very, very dire matzav. He was in his last few days. And it could be that the marriage was a very good marriage. But the husband still wanted to divorce his wife at the end of his days. Why? Because he wanted to avoid any difficulties and any difficult predicament in the end of his wife's life. That she shouldn't have to be oilu liyibam, you don't have to deal with chalitza, and she would be divorced from before the husband died. So the question is, the gerushin only works when the husband is alive. You can't be megarish from a dead person. So the question is, how can I give this get if the guy was in the ICU and his days were numbered and I had to travel for what? For already a month. Who says the guy's still alive? So it comes along the Mishnah in Gittin and says, Amevi get v'inichu zaken echoyla, even if you left him in an old age or in a difficult predicament, noisin la v'cheska shu'ukayim, he has the ability to give the get, v'cheska shu'ukayim, with the assumption, the chazaka, that he is still alive. Similarly, the Gemara says, if you have a Bas Yisrael that's eating truma because her husband is a Kohen, and her husband had to go out of town for work, and she wants to know, is my husband still alive? Because I'm not allowed to eat truma if my husband, Chas V'Shalom, dies. Halach Ba'alam Dinas Ayam Ocheles B'Truma B'Cheska Shukayim. She could assume chazaka of lives. The chazaka dictates that the last known reality was that her husband was alive. That's the assumption that you can run with right now until you know anything else. That she has a cheskas, he has a cheskas chayim, and continue eating. Similarly, the Gemara talks about it, Mishnah talks about it, like I'll be sending a carbon because you can't bring a carbon for a mace as well. The Gemara in the middle of the Gemara and Gemara Gittin, we're going to skip a little bit. Fascinating Gemara, Kedai to do, but the Gemara asks a contradiction when it comes to the world of truma. If you go 5 lines down in the lines of the Gemara in the middle of the line says, Verami truma, truma, I have a contradiction of rices by the din of truma. It's not. Our Mishnah says, if her husband goes out of town, the chazaka is that the husband's still alive. We rely on chazaka. However, the Braisa also says, seems to be a contradiction in another Braisa to this Mishnah. Because a husband that gives his a woman who's married to a kohen and says to his wife, I want this get to be chal. Not now, not today, but an hour before I die. The Gemara says, you are no longer allowed to eat truma. Because we have to be choshesh that maybe he's going to die. So the Gemara asks the question, I don't understand. If the Mishnah says that if the husband went out of town, we can assume that he's alive because he has a cheskas chai. So why can we say that he has a cheskas chai also if he sends her a get and says, this should be chal and take effect an hour before I die. What's the difference? So the Gemara gives a different possibilities, different answers. A lot of Amoran try to reconcile this contradiction. I want to focus on the last line of the Gemara, the statement from Rava. Rava Amar Shema Meis Leichayshinan Shema Yamos Chayshinan. Says Rava, the two are entirely different. A very subtle difference for both sides, but a very, very important difference that plays a role in other areas of Allah. We're going to see this in a second. Says the Gemara, Rava Amar Shema Meis Leichayshinan. If you have a question, you're eating truma right now, and you want to know, is my husband still alive, which allows me to eat truma? So the Gemara says, Shema Meis Leichayshinan. We could assume that he's still alive because why? What, we don't assume that he died. So at that point in time, when I'm eating the truma, I say, "Is a chesed chayim." Shema meis lo chashinim. He didn't die, but comes along the Gemara. Shema yamos chashinim. But if you have a shayla, that's no geya for the future. That's no geya into the future. Will he die? No one's going to live forever. Someone might die in the future. The chazakah doesn't work into the future. The chazakah of the past works for the present. Shema meis leichayshina. Shema yomos chayshina. Rabbi Yisai says Rava, the second case of I will give you a get that take effect an hour before I die, and that might happen 20 years from now. That's a shema yomos shayla. That's not a shema meis shayla. The two are entirely different. And that's why for the next 20 years, she's not able to eat truma. Because maybe every second in the future, he's going to die. Shema yamos chayshin. Comes along the night of Yehuda, and the night of Yehuda says, this has implications, halacha lamais, in a totally different area of halacha. And what area of halacha is that? Hilchos Nida. The Gemara, and you're all going to learn Amir Tzeshem, and Yosef, you're going to learn very quickly, that there are different predictors for a woman to become a Nida. The Gemara calls those predictors bestos. The patterns of a woman. Bestos is a pattern. And the Gemara compares it to classic Dinei Chazaka. The Gemara compares Shor Shenagach, the Negichas of a Shor to the Vestos of a woman. Do we rely on Chazakas in the same areas? Same way, same wavelength. So the Gemara says that if a woman would see for 3 months on a certain day and she had a pattern, so we can pretty much assume and go and know that on this day she's probably going to become a Nida. Chazaka. So the Gemara says that which we rely on these chazakas, is that a din d'oraisa, is it a din d'rabbanan? Meaning, if I would ignore the chazaka, if I would ignore the vestas, and I would ignore them, is that an isser d'rabbanan, is that a din d'rabbanan, or is that a din d'oraisa? How strong is this chazaka of vestas? So the Gemara has machlekes and nida daf tezayin, and the Gemara is daf tezval, I believe. And the Gemara says, ultimately, vestos are only derabbanan. There are a lot of other factors that affect the woman, says the Nadi Yehuda. And just relying on their pattern is only a chumram derabbanan. But on a level d'oraisa, we don't really know based on this pattern. It comes along the Nadi Yehuda and says, the Gemara in Shua says, preferish, that separating from one's wife in the ona hasamach levesta, when you're expecting her to see blood before that ona, before that time, the Gemara quotes a pasuk to tell you that you have to separate from your wife and you can't be together. So the Nadi Yehuda asks a very fundamental question, as well as the Rishonim. If the concept of vestos is the Rabbanon, so why is the Gemara quoting a pasuk to tell me that I need to separate from my wife because she might become a Nida? Doesn't really make sense that there's a pasuk on a Din de Rabbanon. Everyone get the question? So on that, the Rishonim answer, you're right. The pasuk is all and a smachta, and it's not real Makoros Deraisa, that's the Ran, the Rashba, the Raivid, they all say that that's trap. Now, the Yehuda says, I want to suggest a different shot. Go'imis. Says the Nadi Yehuda, Rabbi Isai, if you don't fall in love with the Nadi Yehuda right now from here in this Sfara, look what the Nadi Yehuda did. He took a Gemara in Gittin that's talking about Shuma, and he says the same logic answers this question, Legavi Hilchos Nida. He says, the Gemara clears a shiloh, a woman who had a pattern. Is that a din d'rabbanan or is that a din d'oraisa? So the Gemara concludes that that's vestos d'rabbanan and you would only rely on that d'rabbanan. Because, leichayshin on shema meis. Because the chazakah that now dictates l'gabe what happened might be a certain level of chazakah. but still into the future. That doesn't tell me what the nature of the halacha is to predict l'gabe the future. So says the Nevi Yehuda, the same exact idea doesn't only exist in Truma, but exists in the world of Nida. Just because I only have to be choshesh for what was, and now, based on what was, on a level of derabanan, doesn't mean that the chazaka won't affect me on a level of deraisa for what will be, and maybe she will see dam, and therefore I have to be parish minat Torah, even if the concept of vestos for the past was only derabanan. Chayshinon loy chayshinon shema mei, says the Gemara. Ober chayshinon shema yomos. That doesn't necessarily dictate what's going to be in the future. So the same rationale that exists in the world of Truma affects the world of Nida on a level of the Ogams. So how do we paskin, Rabbi Yisrael? Chayshinon shema yomos or loy chayshinon shema yomos? So the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Naziris in source number 9. If a person says, I'm not gonna leave this world without becoming a nazir, so then he better take on the naziris right away. Maybe he's gonna die. Sounds like the Rambam is concerned. Shema Yamos Rabbisa. Next halacha, last line, just to save time. The Gemara in Gittin. He says, you're going to be divorced a second before I die. Asura lecho v'truyad. She's asur to eat truma. Why? Chai shinon shema yomos. Sounds like the Rambam paskins chai shinon shema yomos. Ask the Chacham Tzvi, then why is it in source number 11 when the Rambam brings down all the necessities of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? He never mentions that he has to have a backup wife. If you subscribe to Chayshinon Shema Yamos like Rabbi Yehuda, so why don't you subscribe so, and you do so in all other areas of Halacha, as the Chacham Tzvi, why don't you do so when it comes to the Avodah and Yom Kippur? Steer in the Rambam, as the Chacham Tzvi. What was this Chacham Tzvi talking about? Fascinating Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was responding to a tshuva of the Radbaz. The Radbaz was sent to Shaila about a guy. Rabbi said, listen to this. If you don't get chizik out of this, Rabbi said, before Yom Kippur, wow. Listen to what the Darius HaKoyman were involved with. They got a letter and they said that this person could be let out of jail for one day. So he asked the Radbaz, he doesn't know what he should do. Should he take the first opportunity to daven mitzvah on a regular Yom Chol? Or perhaps he should make sure to push it off to a really important day like Yom Kippur. What should he do? So the Radbaz came out and he paskins, any opportunity you have right now, ein ma'avir nala mitzvahs, you should take the first opportunity. The Chacham Tzvi is not convinced. And this is a major machlokes, the Chacham Tzvi and the Radbaz, that comes up in other areas of halacha, when a person has these different opportunities and to choose between mitzvahs. And the Chacham Tzvi says, maybe you should delay for the more chamer mitzvahs, and he brings rayas to that. And then the Chacham Tzvi discusses, well, maybe it depends on how long the other date is going to be, when Yom Kippur or the other severe day and the more important day is going to be. Perhaps we should make a distinction between a lot of time or a little time. And then he discusses and he says, well, are we choshesh shema yamos? That's part of his discussion in this tshuva. So he says, to be honest, he says, I have a steer in the Rambam's. In all other halachas, it sounds like the Rambam is choshesh shema yamos. Yet for some reason in Yom Kippur, he's not choshesh shema yamos. And that begs the question, how does one resolve this theory? So comes along the Aruch Lener Misef HaSukkah, and he says, perhaps the answer is the following. And he quotes a Rilagabe Astira in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in the middle of the Aruch Lener, in source number 13, the Aruch Lener asks an additional question. Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tovkov Semaches paskins that if a person takes a neder to take a tainis, he has the ability to push off the tainis for the winter months. Why would a person want to push off their tainis for the winter months, Rabbi Yisai? Yeah, Shimon?
Because it's less work there?
Because it's a shorter time. Exactly. It gets dark earlier. So he wants to push it off to the winter. Frektam of Avram, how could the Shulchan Aruch paskin that he can push off his tainis for the winter? The Shulchan Aruch himself in Yoredeian, Simon Ratio Test says, if a person took a neder to buy a house, he has to buy the first possible house that he can. Why? Because we're worried, Shema Yomus. So I don't understand. If the Shulchan Aruch says you can push it off, so let it push it off. Says the Aruch Liner, what are you going to tell me? One's a long time, one's not a long time. It's not mashma like that. And also, what's the logic of a long time versus not a long time? If you're chayshin shemiyomos, so then maybe it should be even if it's short time. Chayshin shemiyomos. He doesn't like that idea of the Chacham's feet. So comes along the Aruch Liner and he says the answer to, he thinks, to all these questions and to the Stira and the Rambam's is whether or not there's a designated amount of time. There's a zman mugbal. Means you stipulated based on this point. Then says the, whether it's long or short, as long as there's a defined amount of time, says the Aruch Liner, he thinks that that's where the Rambam says, lo chayshin shemiyomos. But if a guy says, I'm not going to leave this world until I become a Nazir, or the get is going to take effect a day before I die, and we have no parameters, we have no gvulim, we have no designation, we have no hagbalah in terms of what he meant, so then the Rambam paskens chayshin shemiyomos. That's what the Aruch Liner suggests, and therefore, says the Aruch Liner, when it comes to Yom Kippur, that's a very zman mugbal, it's one day. You got to make sure that this wife is going to last for one day. Okay, I could do that. No problem. I don't need to set up a backup wife. In such a scenario, the Rambam doesn't pass in Cheshin and Chamilos. And that's the answer to this theory in Shulchan Aruch, says the Aruch Liner. Choreth is a zman mugbal. Buying a house before I die, that's not a zman mugbal. That's the answer to this theory of Cheshin and Chamilos. It's all based on the Rambam. My rabbi say the Aruch Liner is a fascinating chat, but I think the kasha that he asked on the Chacham Tzvi, the similar kasha that you can throw against the Aruch Liner. What's the difference if Cheshin and Chamilos, even if it's a zman mugbal? But Lamaisa, so he might die until that Zman Mugbal. Why should that dictate whether Chayashin Shamiyamas? If we think people might die, like Rava says in the Gemara, so then even if it's a Zman Mugbal, even if it's a designated amount of time, L'chayra, the Chash should be there. Whatever, Rabbi Isai, here's the kicker. I'd like to suggest a new Pshat in Rambam. But I think this is a Yesod for us, for our Avoda as we enter into Yom Kippur. Wherever I voice, I'd like to share with you a interview that a host radio had interviewing a guy named Bruce Schneier. And he is a security expert. He worked for the government. And he is hosting a contest. His annual movie plot threat contest, which asks entrants to submit a product that can be sold with fear. It's an illuminating way to look critically at the marketing of fear. Listen to what he says. They have him, they introduce him on the phone, and he's calling in from Dubai. They say, hey, the radio host. So I read the column that you wrote in Wired, and you wrote that security is both feeling and a reality, and they're different. Is part of what you're saying in this contest is we tend to focus a lot more on the feeling and neglect the reality? So Mr. Schneier says, well, of course we do. We make our decisions based on how we feel. If we feel scared walking down the street, we're not going to do it. We don't check the crime rate and then walk accordingly. We go based around feelings. Our national policy on terrorism is based on fear. And we buy security products based on fear. And marketers know this. It's not new for marketers to tap into our fears. It's sort of an easy way to sell stuff. So what makes one person predisposed to fear and another person not, she asks. So Mr. Schneier answers, well, I mean, it's going to be a lot of complicated things about who you are, your risk tolerance, how well you know what's going on. A lot of fear are based on knowing the actual facts. So someone might be afraid of sharks, for example, not knowing how rare shark attacks are, just possibly from seeing the movies. Or someone might be afraid to fly and not afraid to drive, not realizing the data means that driving is much more dangerous than flying. And a lot of places in the world, we just get security wrong. We worry about the wrong things. So with this contest, explain to me the parameters and the rules quickly. All right, so the rules are to come up with a fear and then a product that alleviates that fear. Lots of examples in the real world you can buy, and I'm not making this up, a wearable personal air purifier you can wear around your neck and purify your air. I've seen that one in the mall. That's right. You can buy a mesh grill to put over your cell phone earpiece to protect against harmful radiation. Oh, wow. You can buy a wrist detector to put on your child that will sound an alarm when it gets wet in case he falls into the pool and you don't notice. So these are examples of real products, and I was hoping that the reader can come up with even weirder ones. So the radio host says, oh, well, we found one, and we made an advertisement for one of the weirdest ones. This was written by a poster called Kalafu. Let's take a listen to something that we call the house bag. In a world where cars could spin out of control onto residential properties, tear through homes, and kill everyone inside while they sleep, you need to be protected. The answer is house bag. The instant our wireless network detects an out-of-control vehicle in your area, a protective Mylar shield inflates around your house, preventing death. One day, a car will possibly collide with your house and kill or seriously startle your family. Protect your home with house bag. House bag, because even the improbable is likely. May not allow oxygen to pass through, may not fit all houses, may not be a bag, house bag. Get house. And they ask the following question. But isn't fear a little bit healthy? Isn't it nature's way of keeping us out of trouble? So listen to what he answers. It is. Rabbi said, listen, but it's perturbed in the modern era. Fear is how we perceive risks. And when things happen, our fear goes up. So for example, if there are a lot of tiger attacks in your village and people talk about that, you become more afraid of tigers. But because of two things, because of technology and because of the media, things that happen in stories don't necessarily reflect the world around us. So there might be a movie about a tiger, or a better example will be a shark, and suddenly we are afraid of them because we've heard the stories, but they're not real stories. They're made up stories. Rabbi, this is very relevant for Yom Kippur. The Gemara says in Yuma, a fascinating Gemara. Shimon ben Shetach, Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol for many years, Rabbi Yisai. The Gemara says when Shimon HaTzadik would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yom HaKippurim, there would be the celebrations, and his Avodah in Yom Kippur would be with all the right signs. For many years, the Gemara says that the string would only be white in the times. The Gemara says that you wouldn't even see a rainbow, which had a negative sign in the times of Shimon HaTzadik. Everything was smooth. Everything was positive until one year. Until one year that Shimon HaTzadik went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbi Yisai, said when he came out, he turned to his Talmidim, to the Kohanim, and he said, I'm going to die very soon. And the Gemara says that he asked, how did he know that? So look at this fascinating Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan, source number 14. Ois tashana shemeis b'shimon atzadik. Amar lehem b'shana zuhu meis. This year I know I'm going to die. Amar lehem b'nayin atzadik. They said to him, how do you know? Amar lehem kol yom ha-kippur mayim izdamen li zokin echad. Lovish levonim v'otuf levonim. Rabbi said, this might be the scariest Gemara in Maseches Yuma, if not one of the scariest Gemaras in Shas. Every year when I went into the Kodesh HaKadosh, I would see an old man wearing white clothing and wrapped in a white cloak. He would enter in with me and he would exit with me. But today, there was an old man, but he's love of shchayrim. He's wearing black clothes, and he's wrapped in a black cloak. He entered in with me. The lo yotza imi. But he did not exit with me. What does this mean? Who is this old individual? Especially in light of the fact that the Yerushalmi tells us, that the Tzishanim quotes it on this Gemara, that even a malach is not allowed to be in the Kodesh HaGadoshim. No other individual, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Achrimos, Chalodom lo yiyeh ba'olam moyed, you are not allowed. A malach, the Gemara Darshan's out, is not allowed to be in the Kodesh HaKadosh when the Kohen Gadol goes inside. So, why the malach had to call out to Avram Avinu, Al tishlach yotcho el anar, Avram, Avram, you hear me, Avi, Avram, Avram. Why is he calling out? Why didn't you just walk up to him? Why didn't you just say it to him? So the Meshech Chachma, it's based on this Yerushalmi. A malach is not allowed to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Avram Avinu was doing this Avodah on Yom Kippur. And he's not allowed to be in the Kodesh HaKadosh. So if that's the case, Rabbi Sai, it begs the question, who was this individual? So I don't want to take sides and I don't want to be machri or Rabbi Sai, but I'd like to share with you the Medrash. The Medrash says this is some sort of representation of Doh HaKadosh Baruch. This was some sort of representation of Hashem. And the Gemara says that Shimon HaTzadik saw him in a different cloak and different clothing in the last year of his life, and then he died. What does that mean? What does it mark? Comes along with Soloveitchik and Yitzchok in volume Chav Tes, and he says something remarkable. Because every year Shimon HaTzad prepare himself and go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, no matter what the situation was, no matter what Am Yisrael's level was, and he would go in with a positive with confidence, with recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. Beis HaMikdash would have a future. Beis HaMikdash would thrive. The Avodah would continue. And Klal Yisrael would have a great year. And he would believe in the Slicha and the connection between Am Yisrael and Hashem. And that's when all those years of Shimon HaTzadik, no matter what the situation was with Klal Yisrael, the strings were white. There was no rainbows. And things were positive. First paragraph. Ram Kshaya Nichas B'yomai Kippurim L'Kodesh Kadosh Mon. Shimon HaTzadik would go inside. Ha'yimiskaber al kol osam asfeikos v'ayarurim. He would elevate himself from all the questions and doubts that he had in his mind. Mara Kodesh HaKadosh Mayim Mashra al Ruach Tikva. The fear, the feeling going into the Kodesh HaKadosh, there was hope. Be'omat Halev and courage. Ki Am Yisrael Chai. That was what he was feeling. Nothing would happen. Klal Yisrael would thrive and continue. The structure would stand and not be destroyed. The chiziv akuhuna leivasek, and the kuhuna would continue. The whole shana v'shana l'rabos hashana machronos, even the last years. Kishayotzoy lebeis kadosh kadosh, when he would enter and march into the kadosh kadoshim, haya nichnas imo zokin, and therefore Abosai, because he had this machshava and this perspective, there would be a Zakin, and that Zakin Yisrael Saba, Lovish Levonim Va'atot Levonim, would wear white and represent and highlight the same exact Machshava that Shimon HaTzadik would have. Shimon HaTzadik Yoro Eskoro La'am Va'asido B'tzvarim Levonim, he would see the future of Am Yisrael in white, Mazhirim U'bihirim, with confidence, without fear. And it's not necessarily indicative of what the matzav of Klal Yisrael was and what the politics was going on outside. Shimon HaTzadik would turn and shut it off and say, Am Yisrael is going to have a beautiful future. There's no yeyush, and I'm not going to give up. And I know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be Seileach Klal Yisrael. Hoyosheicheach matzav ha'am utnai chayo. He would forget everything that existed and what happened before this meeting in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's now Sahamon Biridasu Aruchnis, and even if the Klal Yisrael was suffering spiritually, Uburuch Shol Toikif, Ozubitachonaya Makter Malechovnov, he would go with strength and might and confidence and hope to be Makter the Ktiris. Hazokin Lovish Levanim Va'otav Levanim Ayinichasimo Biyotzimo. Shimon HaTzadik Ra Lo Rakik Knesset Hazakin Yisrael Saba Otif Levonin Otif Tikva Va'oz. Hashem had that same presentation and that same hope and the same belief. Elagamis Yitziyaso Goshem to Udaso Basido Derech Yisrael Saba Yisamitsu Yenesu Brura. He would exit with them with a boost and a hug. Derech Ha'oilu Chaytzeres Beis Hashem. But let's skip to the next paragraph, Boisai, except for the last year. Around the Shana Achrona, in the last year, Gal Shel Tuga Tzafal Shimon HaTzadik, depression. Kein Avelis Tukfa Alov, it was like he was mourning. Hametzias Achzaris Amda Leneged Einov, he was just thinking of doom and gloom. Loizazim Imkomo, when he couldn't be distracted. Uvashash Nichnas Lefnai, Velefne Machshava Yume Evrika Lerega Kat Bemocho.
It's such a negative thought process going into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Ulai hinni ha-Kohen ha-Godol ha-Acharon, thinking and asking, maybe I'm going to be the last Kohen Godol. Ha-Nichnas la-Beis Kodesh HaKadosh. Ulai zehu ha-Shana ha-Acharonah sha-Adayin yochel l'chafin molei chofnei b'shemayim. Maybe this is going to be the last year that I'm going to take my handful of these, of the Ketores. Samoni Ketores shal yoifu b'na'am k'nes Yisrael. Ulai zeh yom ha-Kippur ma-Achar. Maybe this is the last Yom Kippur. That I can scrape up with a shovel the coals from the mizbeach. Who knows? If there will even be a fire on the mizbeach next year, if there will be a beis hamikdash, maybe the mizbeach will be desolate. And no one will be interested to even involve themselves with the mizbeach. Tiena Avelis. Maybe everyone will be in mourning. I'll have Dushi read this poem Yom Liom. Noga Aruchne Shalaam Holich Lekava. The nature of Am Yisrael's spirituality is extinguishing. Hashchina no Golem Imakum Imakum. Shchina is going to leave this place. Hatots Satanu Kath Delay. The Satan and his crew, Misgabrim Ba'olam Yisraeli, is overcoming all of Klal Yisrael. Umi Odea, and who knows? Perhaps Klal Yisrael will not even have a Yom Kippur with all the halachas and details. Umi yodea, and who knows? And Shimon HaTzadik, at the end of his life, is going in with all these thoughts, with all these machshavas, with all this fear. Upitom, what does he see? He sees that zakin, that same zakin that he saw every year. But he's wearing white and he's wrapped in, he's riding black and he's wrapped in black. A reflection of his machshav, of his thought process. Pitom afil afon of asido shal azakin, muruffle muunan, everything gloom and fuzzy. Afkav oy lechader el mitoich avahanan, everything was in a cloud. But also azakin nichnas imo v'lo yotzi imo. And he left him. He left him alone. Wherever Rabbi Yisrael Soloveitchik is telling us, it was the mindset of the Kohen Gadol, the leader of Am Yisrael, that was setting an example for us that our kapara and our approach to Yom Kippur is dependent on our machshava and how much we bring that into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yisrael, this interview, this radio interview, is very much something that's relevant today in our world. And I definitely acknowledge that we went through very difficult times. But Rabbeisai, let's recognize, fear is marketed. Fear is something that is being sold to you. And I'm not saying there aren't things that are concerning. But I am telling you, going into Yom Kippur, one has to realize that these are not random elements of fear that's happening in our lives. And there's difficult, this difficult matzav, and that difficult matzav, and this difficult matzav. There is one thing to fear, and that is the fear of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There is a reason why all of these things have been happening. How is it possible that last week a rainstorm will allow my car that's in park to float and not be able to drive home from Marib? Who pays attention to a rainstorm on the alerts on your cell phone? It's because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is telling us a wake-up call. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is saying, I control everything. I am involved in every single thing that you think is nifrad, is ancillary, is distinct, is disconnected. It's all coming from me. I control everything. I control COVID. I control Afghanistan. I control inflation. I control the borders. I control everything. I control Eretz Yisrael. I control everything. It all comes back to one source. And if we go into Yom Kippur and we think, what's going to be with this thing and this thing, and we have to set up and we have to try to figure out how to navigate this thing, and that's also a bracha, and this leader's a bracha, and the whole election, and this. No. No, says the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's about one thing. It's about a relationship with me. You know, someone once approached Rav Soloveitchik, and they said, I'm a psychotherapist, and I have an expertise in the area, and I really think it's kedai for us to edit the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And I think we should edit the tefillah It's not helpful for us to say in the tefillah, the chen tein pachtach. Why do we have to give pachad? Why do we have to institute and say, please give me your fear? It's just not healthy. We want to move away from that. We want people to feel calm. So let's edit that out of the machzor. Soloveitchik responded to him. He says, I don't claim to be an expert in therapy or in psychoanalysis, but he says, I think that there is one fear that could potentially wipe away all your other fears. And that's channeling that fear toward the Ribbono Shel Olam. Recognizing that all of this is all a wake-up call for us to fear him and to not go into Yom Kippur with all these distinct, separated fears that exist on their own and are not connecting to the ultimate source. And therefore, I think the only way to help these individuals is to keep v'chein pein pachtcha inside the nusach, because that will train people what really to fear and to have yiras shamayim, and that is the answer to everything else, and that will allow them to go in with confidence, like Shimon HaTzadik did in his earlier years, and he was able to see white, he was able to have the right focus and the right approach, and ignore everything that existed around him. Ignore everything that was going on in the world of politics and Klal Yisrael, and just focus on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and Netzach Yisrael lo yishakir, and that Klal Yisrael will thrive, and Klal Yisrael will continue. That's the answer to each and every one of us. Rabbosai, I'm speaking to myself. How much time we focus on all these other things that are going on, that is so clear that it's all about one goal, the chein tein pachtach. Stop focusing on that. Stop focusing on all these other things that we think are disconnected. It's not true. It's all sent from one source. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking, come back to me. Have trust in me. Have faith in me. Bring out the bitachon, Rabbosai. The chein tein pachtach, and that's the clearest answer for all of our issues. You know, it was once a chassid. I was really struggling. So, a lot of anxiety. Couldn't fall asleep. And again, nothing I'm speaking about is for people who have clinically diagnosed anxiety or any mental illnesses that need medicine or therapy. Obviously, that is not what I'm... But I'm talking about things that I've been suffering. And figuring this and worrying about that and worrying about this. And finally, I'm approaching the Aseres Metshuva. I'm thinking about these things, and I'm thinking about how much I invested into all these fears and concerns. And I'm like, don't you get it? Don't you realize the chen tein pachtach? Don't you realize that again and again, and it's things that you wouldn't even imagine as they get closer to Yom Kippur? I mean, a rainstorm? I mean, this rainstorm was worse than the biggest blizzard I've ever experienced in my life. Like, seriously? Yeah, seriously. There's nothing constant. Because Hashem just wants you back. And he's controlling everything. So don't think that what's being decided in Afghanistan is going to be the guy who's deciding how the rainstorm is going to look. Or don't think that the COVID decisions are now going to be the same person that's deciding what's going to be with your taxes. Forget about that. The chein tein pachtecha. You need to come back to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And you need to recognize that he's HaKol Yochol. And he has the ability to control everything. We have to stop playing this game. To stop playing the game that our Yetzer Hara and our natural tendencies tell us to play. And there's this fear and this bacha and this fear. And then we see just black. And we go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that Zokin is Atuf Shechayrim. And he's Lavish Shechayrim. And we have no confidence in the Avodah. We have no confidence in Tshuva. And then ultimately, Shimon HaTzadik says, my Avodah is possible. My Ho Yom Kippur is shot. I want to tell you what I think the Yisoid and Das Rambam is. The Rambam in every other area of Halacha in Ilchus Trumos and Ilchus Neziris. Paskins, Chayshin, and Shamayamos. We do have to be concerned maybe you're going to die. We do have to take that into account.
We're not concerned. We're not all absolutely sure that a person won't die. There is one area of halacha that the Rambam says we cannot go into the Kodesh HaKadosh and we cannot go into the Avodah with a chashash of chayshin and shema yomos, because that's a stira to what the Avodah of Yom Kippur is all about. That's mimicking Shimon HaTzadik at the end of his life where the Avodah was not successful. We need an Avodah with Lavush Levonim. We need an Avodah with Atuf Levonim. We need an Avodah with clarity, with confidence, with stability, with knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me back and he just wants me to only fear him and no one else and nothing else. So in the one area that Halacha the Rambam paskins, lo yichayshin and shema yomos, that Rabbanon are right when it comes to the Avodah Yom Kippur. You know why? Because ein l'davar soi. Because if you're going to think everything is disconnected, disjointed, there's this fear and there's this thing that happened in March and this thing that happened in February and this thing that happened in January. And I don't know, they don't connect, but there's just a lot of things to carry, a lot of burdens to hold on my shoulder. Ein l'davar soi, says the Gemara in Akdama to Meseches Yuma, first Mishnah in the Masechta. Ein l'davar soif is the aside of Avodah on Yom Kippur. Ein l'davar soif. So what's the answer? Zok Chachomin. Achim tein pachta. See white. Ignore it. Recognize that Yom Kippur is the greatest hug and kiss that we could ever ask for. We are part of Klal Yisrael. Hashem loves us. Hashem wants us to succeed on his path. And we should have confidence. But if he loves us, he's going to want us to stay on his mission. The only question is, are we on his mission? Or are we being distracted by all these other missions? That's the side of Yom Kippur. Lo yichayshin an shema yomos by the avodah on Yom Kippur. Because that's what Shimon HaTzadik and Rav Soloveitchik taught us. L'chein tein tachtach. Rabbi Yisai, there was a chassid. He was very anxious. He couldn't sleep at night. Came to 3 in the morning. He couldn't sleep. He decided he's going to go to his Rebbe. He knocks on the door of the Rebbe. No answer. He knocks very harder. Still no answer. He's knocking for about 20 minutes. Decides, Zehu, I'm going to go around back. I know where he is. I know where his study is. And it's not shaykh that he's not learning. I'm going to go knock on the window. So Kachava, he walks around the house and he sees his Rebbe sitting at the table and he's learning and he walks up to the window and he knocks on the window. And again, he continues knocking. For 10 minutes, he's knocking on the window. Rebbe doesn't respond. Next morning, comes the Shacharis. The Rebbe is speaking to a bunch of his Talmidim. Finally, he's waiting online and he approaches the Rebbe and the Rebbe says, "Nu, how do you do after with my answer?" The chassid said, "Well, Bishlomi, you're going to tell me you didn't hear me. You know, okay, that's fine. That's an excuse. How was my answer? You didn't answer the door. I was struggling last night. I couldn't sleep. And I needed to talk to you. And you did not answer the door. And I even went around back and I knocked on the window and you did not answer the window." So the Rebbe said, "No, I answered you. I did answer you. Talking about, I was knocking, knocking, knocking. You never answered me." Rebbe said, "I did answer you. I answered you with the yesod." He said, "There could be a lot of knocks on the door, but you are in control, not of the knocks. You are in control of what you let in. You're not in control of the knocks. You're not in control of the fears, but you're in control of what you let in." Wherever Rabbi Yisai, that was what Shimon HaTzadik was teaching us. Yeah, there's all these things. Rabbi Yisai, the phone, we've been talking about the phone. Let's talk about the phone. The phone, even before you touch the phone, right? Apple and all these things they're sending you. Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to wither. Everyone's going to... I can't even look at it. This issue and the economy's going to collapse and everything. And the planes are going to crash and everything. No, I'm not going to let it in. I'm not going to touch it anymore. I'm not going to play their game. I know about this game with house bag. I'm not playing that game anymore.
I am an emissary of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And I know he controls every one of these things. And I know that the Satan is all over this thing. But not only in the schmutz. I used to think, the schmutz used to be, it's the schmutz. In years past, it would be like, there are good things and there are bad things. No, no, I'm not even talking about opening the phone. I can go like this and already the news turns on. I can go like, I didn't even press a button and already the news turns on. And it's saying, you're going to die. You're going to have a heart attack. You're gonna, no. No, no, I have a Rebbeinu Shlomo. I have a Father in heaven. And he is controlling all of this. When it comes to Yom Kippur, Rabbeisai, I need to realize what Chazal tells us. The Rambam Perush Mishnayos tells us that the way to depict these days are Yimei Mivrach Umanos Elov. You gotta run. But where are you running? You gotta flee. So up until this day, up until I realized what the Rebbeinu Shlomo was telling me to do, so I just started running. I ran to this area, to the bank, I ran to this place, I ran to this fear, and I ran to that destination and that location, and everything was Nifrad. Then I realized what? Oh, Yimei Mivrach Umanos Elov. You need to run towards Hashem. Don't run to scattered areas. Don't run all over the country. Don't run to all these different places. Run to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, to the Eibishter who loves you. Run to the person who's calling for you. Don't let all of these knocks and answer all these different doors. There's one. There's one Yesod, and that's the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Arizal tells us, one of the Rashi Tevis of Elul, a Gefaldik Yesod. We have so much psukim that are written on the concept and topic of Ir Miklat. Arizal says, because the Koyach of Tshuva is running to that refuge, to that place of protection, which is what the Rebbeinu Shalom is. He protects you from the Goel Adam, from the Mashchis, from the Sheichit, from the Yetzer Hara. As the Pasuk says, Ino liyado visamti lecha makom. Rebbeinu Shalom sets up a place. Ino liyado visamti lecha is Rosh Hashanah Elo. We need to run to the Rebbeinu Shalom. We need to take all these fears. We need to recognize, not on Yom Kippur, because I have the Eibishter. Because I have the confidence in Hashem. Because I see white. Because I know that he loves me. Because I know he cares. Rabbi Yisai, look at this kotzker. Unbelievable kotzker. You go through Shnayim Mikra, you go through Shoftim, it's mamish apel. The Pasuk says in Shoftim, Ki seitzel ha-melchoma aleivech, v'ra'isa sus v'rechev am rav nimcha. You see a lot of big artillery, and you're very scared. Comes along the kohen and he says, the kohen gives you a pep talk. It says, Rashi, what does it mean, Shema Yisrael? It doesn't mean just listen. It means, if you just have the schus of Kriyashma, Hashem will save you. Problem is, ask the Kutzker. If you go on a few psukim later in Pasuk Hey, the Shotrim come over and speak after the Kohen Amashulach Muhammad. V'dibru ha-Shotrim ala'am le'mor. Mi ha'ish asher bana bayis chadosh. Who is this person that didn't have the ability to build, finish building his house, to consecrate, to finish off his marriage, to really enjoy his vineyard? And then finally they close. V'yosvu ashir shotrin ledaber la'amar amam mi ha'ish ha'yare, and who's fearful? Racha leva. Comes along Rashi and quotes from Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the end of the first line. What is racha levav? Yare racha levav. Yare, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, me'aviru shaviyav. Ask the Kotzker in source number 19. I don't understand. It's a contradiction. If you're telling me if a person has the schus of Shema Yisrael, so then he doesn't have to be concerned about his averus. Even Shema Yisrael alone, the Kohen just told me, will save me. So why is it that the Shotrim are saying, if you have averus shabiyado, you have to be concerned? So let's see what the Kotzker says, Rabbi Yisai. A yisoid for us in our avodas Hashem, and our boost for tshuva in reconnecting with the Rebbeinu Shalom that loves us and wants us to fulfill his will and to live on and thrive. Says the Kotzker. He asked this question, Rashi, afilu im b'chem s'chus al-Krishma, k'dayatem sh'yishiyaschem, The Koshari Ksila Allah Miya Isha Yare Varacha Leva Vyasha Labeso Uperish Rashi Meaver Shabiado. So ask the Kotzker, even the Avera of speaking between Afilu Sachbein Tfilin Shal Yad Tfilin Shal Yerosh, Chol Zemir Racham Alchama, Afilu Yesh B'yad HaKriyash Mavar B'mitzos. Listen to what the Kotzker answers, not a stira. V'tirets ima ish chazak v'amitz lev be'emunoso sh'mishom s'chus kriyash malavado, sh'yesh b'yad HaYatzil oso Hashem Yisparach, v'gado b'tchono kol kach, az vade k'day v'li notzim. Says the Kotzker, it depends. If you have confidence that Shema Yisrael in a connection with being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim, you're confident and you believe in that, and that's your ultimate V'chein Tein Pachtecha. That's your driving force in life. That's your essence. And don't worry about all the rest. Everything else will happen. Everything else will be looked upon in that light. That's your focal point. And don't worry about Aveir Shabiyot. That's the first Rashi. But if you're a person that doesn't have such confidence in your relationship with Hashem, it's not necessarily thinking everything in this world is about being Mekabel Omach Shamayim and coming from Him. But you have a lot of questions and sveikas, and you see a lot of black going into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and you're not as confident. So then, Ayare from Avir Shabiyodo, then we got to make sure and check out what's the talent. Wherever Rabbi Isai, the Avoida here is exactly the way the Masechta starts out. Ein Ladover Seif. But there is a Seif Ladover. And that's HaKadosh Baruch. He controls it all. That's the Yisrael of Yuma. That's what empowers the Kohen Gadol, and was why Shimon HaTzadik was successful all of those years, no matter what was going on with Klal Yisrael and what was going on around him. You got to see the white. You got to have the confidence. You got to channel and direct everything that's going on to the Eibishter and cultivate your relationship based on that premise. And then you believe in Shema Yisrael. You believe that that is the ultimate and that is the only thing that matters. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me and He wants me to continue. And that's the path that I'm continuing on. So then don't be as concerned of all the technical of should be able to, yeah, you do tshuva. But once you go in with that focus, the tshuva will be simple. But a person who doesn't have that approach, a person who's mevakish nifrad, he's thinking everything is distinguishable and everything is disconnected, and there is no v'chein tein pachtecha, and he's letting in the door and all these knocks, and he's saying, no, there's a complicated world, and the Rabbeinu Shalom, I only really come here on Yom Kippur, and I'm not really here cultivating a new relationship. I'm not channeling anything. I'm just going to go and continue with that same lifestyle that I was living and with my same fears that I had beforehand, and recognizing that it's this individual and that controller and that president and that leader and that weather that's arbitrary and that's just random. So then, yeah, then you're right, then you're disconnected. Then they're random things, then you got to fix that up. Then you don't have that core that's going to wipe away everything else. So we're now going to follow in the footsteps of the early years of Shimon HaTzadik. We're going to follow in the footsteps of the Rambam that when it comes to Yom Kippur, Ein Ladover Seif and Loi Chashin Lemisa against other areas of Allah. Because we need to see white. And we need to take this Yom Kippur and channel and now make a new approach to my entire life that it's all nor the Eibishter, just the Eibishter. You know what my Yira is, everybody's saying? You know what my fear is? I once heard this from a great Gadol. So Yira is not Yira Sa'inish, it's not Yira Sa'punishment. You know what I'm fearful of? That one day I'm going to recognize and I'm going to see how much the Rabbeinu Shalom loved me. You know, my fear is I let him down. You know, you have that wife, you have that family member that you love so much, that you care for so much, and you just abandon them. And you just totally neglected them. That's fear. That's real Yira. Moreover, Rabbi Isai, the Rabbeinu Shalom is here, and he's ready to be seen in white, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Lefnai V'Lefnim.
on this Yom Kippur. Let's channel. Let's focus. Let's approach the world and our lives with the right mindset, with the Shema Yisrael Dika approach, with the Kotzker, with the V'chein Tein Pachicha. And then, Rabbi Yisrael, everything else will Amir Tzeshem follow. That's what the Rabbeinu Shalom is asking of us. That's what the Rabbeinu Shalom is reminding and reminding and reminding. It's all the Rabbeinu Shalom. Every single reminder he's trying to send you in every different way. You need to see what? You need to have Shema Yisrael, and then you'll be able to win and become victorious in the battle, even if you have Avera Shabiyotah right now. Because it's going to be a new life. It's going to be a new approach. It's going to be a different way of fighting the battles. Because I have Shema Yisrael. I have the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbi Yisai, Yashar Koyach, Mimir Tzashem, it should be a schus for all of us. In this Kodesh HaKadosh, Mimir Tzashem, this year, in Mimir Tzashem, cultivating a brand new life that's going to be just us and the Rabbeinu Shalom. Nothing else. And we're not going to be distracted by all these fears and all the strategies that the marketers have, and recognize that he's the one in charge, he's the one in control, and Amir Tzashem, he's the one who's going to give us success. Beficha ubovavcha la'asoysa, Rabbi Yisai. One mitzvah, the Rabbeinu Shalom has to convince us, it's in your mouth and in your grasp. Why? Because there are many that distract you and think that it's not. And there are a lot of Avir Shabiyadu. No. Go in with Shema Yisrael, be Mekabal Malch Shamayim, and recognize it's in your capability. You can think white. Shkoyach, chevra.